Hello, everybody. We are back, Charlene Bollinger, with the amazing Zach Voorhees. Zach, thank you for joining me again today.
Thanks. It's good to be back, Charlene.
Yes. So earlier, I called you in distress. YouTube is censoring again. And I know you have a lot of knowledge there and bring a wealth of information to the table. So you are the guru that I look to in many ways. And I just want to tell the audience out there, we got into a very interesting discussion that I'm really excited about bringing to you. So many people have different theories about coronavirus, COVID, where did it start? What is it? What's causing this reaction? Is it real? Is it not real? And as far as I've seen, it is real. It's a real thing. But what's the truth behind it? What's really, really happening? So, Zach, you've done the research. You've been the voice in the wilderness crying out since January about what's happening, what the truth is. Personally, I've seen a lot of video content leaked out of China that seems very concerning, and I wasn't able to quite put it together. And talking to you today was quite enlightening. So I'd love for you to just go through what we did earlier about the inception and the reality of China, Wuhan, COVID, and so forth. Can you help us to understand?
Yeah. So I want to give a disclaimer that I'm not a medical expert. I'm a computer guy that used to work for Google. And now that I'm exposed in the deep state, I just search news and do deep research all the time. That's what I'm pretty much doing every single day. And so I've analyzed the social media that was coming out since January around this COVID-19. I'm going to give my analysis of what's been going on and my theory that explains most of the data points that I'm seeing in the media. Use your own judgment, though. Don't just trust me for what I'm saying. Verify the facts that I'm going to be stating and come up to your own decisions. So, yeah, with that disclaimer, I want to kind of get into what I've noticed with COVID-19 and what I think it probably is. So back in January, I started to notice that there was some really weird activity coming out on Twitter regarding what China was starting to do, centered around disinfecting its cities in Wuhan and the Hubei province. And these videos were really kind of startling, like people with mobile disinfectant systems, walking around through these cities, just spraying everything. And then some videos started to like pop out. Epoch Times reporters started like posting this going, hey, this is really weird. And what it showed was an absolute dystopian nightmare of cities being completely locked down. And it appeared that whatever they had was way worse than what we've ever seen happen in America. Like, I'm talking like, I think, looking back at everything that I've seen right now, that it's likely that some sort of medical holocaust took place. And I use the word holocaust because the word holocaust means burnt offerings. And certainly a lot of incineration happened in Wuhan. And so I think that it's an appropriate term to use. And whatever was out there, whatever got released, was so bad that it likely killed off a million people. And the reason why we suspect that is because the amount of internet traffic went down like around a million people, and a bunch of cell phones got deactivated. Now in America, you can just sort of like bounce around between different cell phones, no problem. But in China, it's required by law that you have a cell phone attached onto you, almost like a social security number. When a cell phone gets deactivated in China, that is usually associated with the death of the person. Recently, we just had like a million subscribers having their phones deactivated in the Hubei province. And that is sort of like additional confirmation that this took place. Additionally, we got, you know, video emerging showing that the incinerators were running all the time. There's this mapping software that takes satellite data and of different types of pollution. I think it's called windy.com, and you can set it to different sorts of pollution. So if you want to see the burning of organic matter, you're going to set it to the sulfur dioxide setting and see what's happening. And what we saw was a lot of organic burning that was taking place in Wuhan. And we don't know why. We assume that it's possibly because of these incinerators running. And confirmation of that was because we had video of people saying that, yeah, the incinerators went from a few times a week to 24/7, you know, 7 days throughout the week, these things are running. We also had video of entire families being barricaded in their houses. We had videos that it was so bad that the military had welded shut like certain doors closed. And, you know, think about how bad something has to be where the military is going to weld you inside your house. And you saw this for strips of houses all the way down. Like someone had a phone and they were following it down, and it just showed house after house, like welded shut or boarded up with like long, big planks that were coming out to the driveway to make sure the door couldn't be opened. You know, this is how bad it was. And when I saw all of this happen, this was like mid-January, and I started tweeting on, you can look at my tweets at twitter.com, you know, /perpetualmaniac. And I was like going, I was like, this is really bad, guys. Like, why are we not shutting down all the flights everywhere at the same time? It's mathematically certain that we're going to get this unless we shut it all down. Well, the flights didn't get shut down. And, you know, the WHO and the CDC were issuing crazy, you know, statements saying that this disease had no, you know, indication of human-to-human transmission, that masks were not going to be safe or effective, which is crazy now because, you know, you're getting fined in cities if you don't have a mask at all.
Right.
Okay. And so, you know, Trump kind of did a shutdown of some direct flights from China, but there was still, I could still see the flights were coming out of China into the United States. And so I was wondering, like, what's going on? Like, why aren't we shutting down the flights? We need to shut down the flights. The right wing wasn't talking about it. The left wing wasn't talking about it. The QAnon group wasn't talking about it. It was only a select few of people in Taiwan, including Taiwanese, that were on social media talking about how bad this was. Well, I started to come up with this theory that, well, maybe there was two, you know, different types of viruses that was floating around. There was this intelligence report that there were actually two versions of the virus, that there was an L-type version that was lethal, and if you got that, you were really screwed. And then there was an S-type version, and that the S-type version was like a really bad cold, and if you got this S-type version, then you actually got immunity towards the more deadly L-type version. And if you got the L-type version, it was like essentially like Ebola, a death sentence, like you got it, you died. And so, and that there was no hope. And some of the stories that we got from Wuhan was really scary, that the hospitals that they were building were not really hospitals, but more like death camps. Like, you know, you got sick, you got brought to this death camp to die because you weren't going to get better. And then as you progressively got worse, you know, they would put you in, you know, progressively worse kind of conditions until that was it, you were dead, and they would move you out. In some places, it got so bad that it appeared that they needed the hospital bed so much that some people, while they were still technically alive and breathing but unconscious, were being loaded up and putting into these incinerator machines. That's how bad it got, right? And so it wasn't until recently, a few weeks, that I don't know if you guys follow the QAnon stuff, but the intel drops are really good. And what they came out and they said is that there was that COVID-19, like, it was real, but it never got out of Wuhan, which, aha, that kind of gave me the confirmation of the other signals that I had seen, which was saying that this really didn't get out of Wuhan, that it kind of stayed localized, and it was a really bad situation for a while, and it's not that bad anymore. And so this is my theory, you know, that there's two different types. There was a deadly type, then there was this non-deadly type called the S type, and that it's even possible that the S type was covertly sprayed out to different people around October, November to inoculate the community so that they wouldn't get this more deadly L type if it ever got here. My mom is an airline stewardess. She got sicker than she ever got starting in November, and it lasted for like 6 weeks. And she had all the symptoms, you know, just absolutely took her out. And, you know, if something like this started being sprayed in October or November, like, my mom would be the first to get infected. And that's how she got infected.
So this is quite a different story than we're being told. The official story is always different than what we really find when we do our own research. So this is interesting. There are a few points that you brought up in the explanation of what you find, the theory that you've come up with based on the intelligence and what you've researched. One of the things that you said earlier, when we went into more depth, you mentioned briefly here, are the body bags, the incineration, and the loss of 1 million lives. And this looks like a modern day plague, a real pandemic, because what we're seeing in America, we see a lot of fake news, doctors saying there's not death here, we're faking it and so forth. There's a lot of corroboration there. But in Wuhan, and I did see those videos, I saw a lot of those videos, and they were on Twitter, they were going viral all over the place, and then they were disappearing. The videos were disappearing, and I don't know if that was in China's end or what happened, but those videos were disappearing fast, and some of the people that were dropping those videos for us were disappearing, so there was a lot of mystery surrounding those videos. But Ty and I both saw the videos where we saw body bags. They were putting people in body bags, zipping them up. We saw that the incinerators were running at a rapid rate, nonstop, and the black smoke going up from the burning remnants up into the air. And then, as you said earlier, Japan had this black rain, and they believed it to be the ash that was coming up from the constant incineration of actual people. So what do we have here when these people are put in camps and they're just being thrown into a fire to dispose of their bodies, and some put into body bags when they're still breathing, they're still alive, but they're put in the body bags and they're thrown into the fire. That is quite concerning and shocking. Is there any way to confirm this is the case? And again, I have seen a lot of those videos and it was concerning to me.
I mean, it's circumstantial evidence, right? Like the raining of ash in Japan, the video testimony of one of the incinerator workers, you know, just talking nonchalantly. And you have to just sort of look at the video and get a feel for it. You know, she had some in-depth knowledge about the incineration and she was just talking about it. And it matches, you know, the million deactivated cell phones. So putting all that together, like, what explains all that? And, you know, there's a lot of evidence. I think that if you took this to a court of law and gave all this evidence, it would, you know, result in beyond a reasonable doubt that something like this took place.
Well, you know, Zach, what we're finding is a serious problem with censorship. In a free society, we should be able to talk about these ideas, talk about the evidence that we have collected, the intelligence reports, the videos, the testimonies, and then, of course, there's that black ash rain coming down on Japan. So we should be able to freely dialogue. We should be able to come together and discuss these facts and figure out what really is going on. If we really want to know the truth and find a solution, and we believe there's always a solution as long as we know what the truth is and what is the truth and why is it being buried?
Yeah. And the reason why I believe it's being buried is because it's there's some sort of intelligence operation going on with this COVID-19. And in fact, our conversation earlier was basically basically me warning you, saying, if you jump out ahead of this COVID-19, be aware that there's a political action going on with this. And so you're going to, you know, they're going to target you and censor you. So what's going on right now with this COVID-19? Well, you know, it's a political action. And what it looks like they're doing is that they're trying to use this to make sure that they have mail-in ballots for everyone in the country. And I saw a tweet of some outraged Republicans saying, look what Nancy Pelosi is trying to do. And it was literally in like a bill where she was trying to preempt states from enforcing voter ID laws or anything like that on mail-in ballots. Okay. And so this is rather shocking, like trying to tie the bailout money to making it so, you know, like let's say, you know, Kansas can't use voter fraud protection or voter fraud elimination laws in order to, you know, ensure that their elections have integrity. Like Nancy Pelosi's bill makes it so that no state law can take into effect if it does check voter ID. And so the thing is that this is how they're going to be able to make up a bunch of votes, because if in a lot of these states, you know, voter fraud takes place via the mail-in ballots. Like a lot of people don't realize that, but this is how it's done. It's done through ballot harvesting, you know, and it's done with fraudulent ballots. Like all it requires is someone's signature. People get dead ballot or dead people get ballots all the time. In fact, I just read a tweet of someone saying that their dead mother of 6 years just got a ballot to vote. No one's checking it. There's no protections. The only really good way to vote is everyone comes in and dips their finger into ink and then says, I voted, right? And there's proof. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, President Trump just came out today or yesterday and, you know, accused Michigan of trying to create a bunch of voter fraud with their, you know, mail-in ballots. And so this is what they're trying to do. This is a political game. This is the last sort of Hail Mary pass by the deep state that they're going to be able to do their, you know, whether they're responsible for this Wuhan release is up to anybody's guess. I think that the real version of who released this virus truly in Wuhan will eventually make its way to the light of day. But nobody actually has this answer at this time of how this thing was released. Right now, this COVID-19 is still in play. It's gonna keep being in play for a little bit longer. It looks like everything's ramping down now, you know, because President Trump is like, I'm taking hydroxychloroquine, which, you know, mm-hmm. if the president takes it, then, you know, how can you have a narrative fight against that?
Like, right. That well, they're trying. Everyone. They're trying. They are trying. Yeah. Like they do with Zach, they demonize us for talking about real effective treatments outside of the conventional toxic, a lot of time, treatments.
Yeah. But, you know, I thought that this might last for a little bit longer, but it seems that a lot of the QAnon related accounts on Twitter right now are saying that this this operation is coming to a close and wrapping up. So, you know, maybe we're at the end of it. I really hope so. I'm stuck in Costa Rica because my airline ticket got canceled. So we have a website that we're using to launch a class action lawsuit against Google. And it's at stopbitburning.com. And the name comes from a reference for, you know, the Nazis used to burn books, and modern day fascism looks like burning bits. Essentially, you know, when Google censors a result, that's, you know, burning bits. When YouTube deletes a video, that is bit burning. And so we want to put a stop to this bit burning, hence stopbitburning.com.
Brilliant, brilliant. And as you know, I called you in distress earlier because YouTube's hitting us too. They're hitting everybody. They've taken down our full-length interview with Judy Mikovits. She's under the fire. They're just expunging her from the internet, but the videos where they're demonizing her and saying all kinds of really bad things about her, those things are able to stay on the internet. So it's unfair. I'm all for the freedom. You say whatever you want, but don't remove the other side. Don't remove our voice. Let's have a discussion. Let's get together and talk about it. And at the end of the day, we should be able to find a solution if we're really looking for the truth, because mm-hmm. it's a truth that really sets us free. And a lot of times it's a truth that's being eradicated from these platforms. And so it was Judy, a couple of videos we had Judy in, and then part two of our roundtable discussion we had with Bobby Kennedy, Dr. Bitar, Sherry Timpenny, and Judy Mikovits, and Del Bigtree. It was a great discussion. We covered a lot of ground, and it just went viral. We got a lot of views on that. And YouTube decided, you know what, we're going to take it down. So they did. And you know, at 1 o'clock in the morning, my YouTube manager emailed and said, uh-oh, another video bites the dust. Yeah. So it's just got to stop. We've got to stop this, because they're letting the other side stay up. They're letting the other side of this discussion be there. So that means they're controlling the minds and the hearts of the viewers, the people, the populace, the people of America and around the world. And so not only do we have censorship, but we also have manipulation of information, manipulating minds and hearts and thoughts. And as a result, the end goal is to control everyone and herd them into whatever pen they're trying to put us in. That's what I see here. Can you open that up and help us to understand this manipulation factor?
You know, like what's really going on right now? Like what's happening? And is there a sort of a point in history could look back and say, oh, this is a repeat of that? And I'm going to argue that it is. What we have right now is a church, and I call it the Blue Church. And this Blue Church is something that is a monster bureaucracy that's been around. It's a corporate structure. It's been around for like 250 years, right? And what's happened is that this church has gotten so big and so much in control of the world that they drifted away from objective reality and went to their own little imaginary world, right? And I think a lot of your audience will, you know, understand that global warming is it's psychological warfare. Global warming is not caused by humans releasing a little bit more CO2 than would be released in a year. The rise in global warming has been due to the sun. And the new climate models that are coming out show that it's the sun that's causing the increase in the temperature. Solar wind blasts out at 400 kilometers and a second. It crashes into the atmosphere. The atmosphere gets hot. That's why the sun, the Earth temperature, if you chart it, is like so crazy. And so how, you know, let's just talk about global warming for a second. Like, this is one of the tenets of the Blue Church right now, that there's global warming. We should all feel guilty for it. And in order to absolve ourselves from the sins of destroying the planet, we have to give money to a UN organization. Kind of like the Catholic Church.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
You were born in original sin, and if you want to get rid of it, then you can pay the church. Like, that's literally what it was.
Indulgences, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Absolve your sins. And so what this church is doing right now, this Blue Church, is that it's created a prison of the mind to put you in so that you make unhealthy choices for your life. You hate other people. You hate yourself. You think that the idea of a family is oppressive to, you know, differently abled people. All these things that we take that have been indoctrinated and pushed up into our heads for the better part of the last five decades is essentially a means of this Blue Church to sort of expand its sphere of influence and take control. And they moved, you know, like decades ago, it wasn't really that bad of a deal. Like, it did wonderful things. It brought like nuclear power to, you know, the world and stuff like this. But what's happened is that it's gotten so corrupt and the amount of wealth has been concentrated into so few hands that at this point they've gone off the rails, and the whole system is headed for an insolvent collapse. That's what we're in right now. We're in a collapse. Oil's being held at sea. It's not being allowed to be delivered. It's the price of a barrel of oil has gone negative in the last couple months. The IRS has halted payments. Everyone's like fired off their customer service. No one has to pay any taxes until June. They'll probably get extended even until August, and then who knows when, if they'll even have it again. Right now, what's happening is that we're surviving. The big church is, the blue church is collapsing. And, you know, everything involved with it is falling away. And the problem is that the things that this blue church has given us, like provided us our history, provided us our cultural icons. You know, how do you go to an individual and say, hey, by the way, everything that was popular in the media was just something that they were using in order to control you and keep you into a box. And the box that is provided for Americans is different than the box that Brazil was providing, was different than the box that China was providing. And so, you know, all these things that you thought actually, it's actually a version of history, and it's going to turn out that it's mostly wrong, right? Mm-hmm. You know, and there's a secret history of everything. Like, you know, there's a secret history of money. There's a secret history of banking, you know, and a lot of the cultural events that we know, and one of them is the sinking of the Titanic. It turns out that there were three important people on this Titanic ship that they were all involved in stopping the creation of the Federal Reserve. Right. And this Titanic sank and they all died, and it didn't actually die from an iceberg ramming into it and ripping apart its hull. And ice can't break through hardened steel anyways. You know, it was an explosion that happened from inside and caused the vessel to blow outward like this. And this has been confirmed by divers that have gone down there. And now you see like the mainstream media or the blue church coming out and saying, well, actually it may have turned out that there was an unknown coal fire that was burning undetected in the hull of the Titanic ship, right? Like they're just trying to like cover up for all this kind of stuff. And these historical moments and these cultural moments are going to be, you know, disclosed to us in due time that, hey, that was actually a cover story for something else that happened that we didn't want you to know about, because we didn't really want you to know that the money was being controlled by a cabal of private central bankers. And we don't want to let you know that your government, your unincorporated government of the United States, was replaced by a corporate structure by the same name, that this corporate structure has gone bankrupt, and we're now in a state of liquidation in which the trustee of the United States has been hijacked by a group of foreign interests. And that's been this way for over 100 years, right? And so, but this story is going to be told, because what's happened right now is that the military essentially had a war with the deep state and kicked them out. Now they're back in control of the country. And, you know, if you follow the QAnon stuff, essentially the story that's coming from them is that the military decided that they were going to take back control of the United States because there was a plot by the globalists to destroy America. And it's not like this is like a conspiracy theory of like, they actually put it in the CIA fact book and the UN predictions for what was going to happen to America. If you want to get really scary, go look at the archive version of that at archive.org and see what it was back in the predictions back in 2015. And what they were saying is that it was going to be this huge collapse, that a million people were going to disappear from the census. And that the reason for that would be the economic collapse was so bad that people from the United States would emigrate out and go to Central America and South America just to get out of the collapse of the American system. Okay, so this is what the globalist organizations were predicting was going to happen to America. So if you're a bunch of business leaders, you know, in America, and you're like, hey, this is really bad. Like, just connect the dots. Like, you know, America's slated for destruction. Well, if you don't want that to happen, then maybe you're going to come up with a plot of your own and wrestle back control of America back into the hands of people that want to see America succeed first and not China. And, you know, so if you take that background, what happened, according to the QAnon sort of version of history, is that the military got together, and other people have confirmed this, like Steve Pachenik, the military got together and said, hey guys, we're going to lose this. Let's stop this central banking coup that's taking place with Hillary Clinton. And they unrigged 7 voting machine states, like the battleground states. And it was like Michigan and Pennsylvania and stuff like that. And, you know, as we know, those machines are hackable. They're owned by Soros. They've got no security on them. And apparently the military came in and hacked into them and unrigged the vote. And I mean unrigged and not, you know, messed around with, because it wasn't just Donald Trump that got a lot more surprise votes out of those machines. It was also the Green Party. Hmm. And what's really interesting is that the Green Party came out and said, oh, this is a travesty. We think some election meddling went on. So they were basically trying to stop they were trying to get a recount going on in places like Pennsylvania. And what was really interesting about these battleground states is that the Green Party had a surprising show in all the states they wanted to get a recount. And I remember sitting there going, hey, wait a minute, guys, if you got a surprise recount, if you guys got a surprise winning as a minority party, why would you be advocating for a recount in those states? But they were anyways, because I think that the Green Party is, you know, part of the deep state, and they're there to give like as controlled opposition. And what's really interesting is that they missed the ability to do a recount because someone on the party, this is a true story, you can look it up. Someone on the party had, was giving false intel and gave the committee the wrong date to file for a recount. And so when they went to file it, they called them up and they handed in their paperwork and they were told by the clerk, oh, I'm sorry, but you've missed the deadline by one day. Mm. And so they missed their deadline to be able to file. And so the story came out is that patriots on the inside went in, hacked the voting machines, set them so that gave the real answer instead of the fake one. Now Trump's in power. And now we see the cleaning of the deep state, and things have gotten crazy in the last 3.5 years. Like Google went from, you know, organized the world's information being universally accessible to censoring people that are talking about vitamin C and advocating taking it if you don't want to catch COVID-19. Like that's how far that they've fallen.
We are in the digital dark ages.
Yeah.
We're talking about a renaissance that's right around the corner, and I hope that it is. We're fighting for it. But right now we're in the digital dark ages, burning bits, bit burning, like book burning. So we're just, the reason for this interview, for this conversation, is to bring the truth about the real story of COVID, what's really happening, and the truth about these systems that they're using against us and these official stories being ripped open and looked at. What's behind the curtain?
Yeah, exactly.
I wish we could get into the science, Tesla versus Einstein. That's, I guess, a discussion for another day.
I'll just summarize it as this. Like, okay. If you can imagine that they can take control of the entire mainstream media, then what's going to stop them from also controlling science? And if you want to make sure that no one can compete with you on a scientific level, then what you're going to do is you're going to create a fake version of science that throws everyone else off. And that's what they did. And I hope to come back and talk to you about that story because it's mind-blowing. And it's part of what's going to come, because when you understand real physics, the Tesla-style physics, as it's been known, then a lot of, you know, it saves the space for this cold fusion, it for the free energy, the zero point stuff, like all of that free energy comes out of the models that Tesla was able to first come up with. So
yeah, and I've looked at a little bit of that. I want to research it more and get ready for our next interview, because I think we can unpack a lot of goodies for everybody to learn and just give them little breadcrumbs so they can follow them to the truth. And we are all about the truth. And I know you are too. I'm so grateful to call you my friend. And I look to you for guidance and help, like today when YouTube hit us again. So we're going to keep working together, Zach. We appreciate you. We're going to share your information. Before we go, could you let our viewers, once again, we did a part one, but for those that didn't see it and that are just tuning in, how can they support you and where can they find you?
They can support me by, actually, I'm not asking for support right now. If they want to join the fight, though, they can go to stopbitburning.com, or they can type in punch Google. I think both goes to the same place. And join the fight against censorship. We're going to be launching a class action lawsuit. We need your help to help get the word out, because together we're going to be able to take back our rights and not allow a big global institution just wreck our culture, our elections, everything, just so that they can get Trump out of office. So, if you want to do something, join the fight. Stop Bitburning. If you want to see my leaks, go to ZachVoorhees.com, where I posted all the Google leaks online. And you can join me on Twitter at Perpetual Maniac.
And you are a maniac. You're a good maniac. And I'm so glad that we had this time together. We both got busy days, and somehow we met in the middle of the busyness. We support you. We're going to be sending your information out to everybody that we know, asking our other friends that are influencers with large audience to do the same. We will be back hopefully sooner rather than later and have a good talk about science. Thank you, Zach.
Yes. Thank you.
And thank you out there for joining us. God bless. Bye-bye.